for it.
Hey, Davey.
Hey, John.
I'd just like to take a quick moment before we go straight into the Stoneface Films podcast and talk about Loot Crate.
Loot Crate.
Loot Crate, as you know, is a curated collection of awesome items from the best pop culture franchises delivered to your door every month. Davey, you love a Loot Crate?
Love a Loot Crate.
We have been enjoying Loot Crate long before we started the podcast. Each box comes with 4 to 6 items, apparel, collectibles, figurines. They guarantee $45 worth of value in each and every crate, which you couldn't ask for any more.
How much does it cost, though?
It doesn't cost, listen, 27.25.
What?
In Euroth.
Use your promo code BADLADS.
BADLADS. And you'll get a few quid off the order. They'll know you're repping the boys in Dublin. And we hugely, hugely appreciate everybody who goes and checks them out. Go to lootcrate.com/stoneface. Have a nose around. Use that promo code.
BADLADS.
BADLADS.
Did you ever wash their hair with shampoo?
No.
It just didn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd pull the hairline
Sorry,
weight
Rob's
back.
Sorry, Rob's left the room crying.
It's the as of yet untitled Stoneface Production Committee Hour podcast, maybe longer than an hour.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Stoneface Films podcast. My name is John Hosier Byrne, creative director at Stoneface Films, and with me, as always, he almost couldn't be here today because he was on an intergalactic quest to stop the Reapers, largely by going around and doing personal favours for the fuckers on a spaceship. It's Mr. David Riley.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
I don't know what that is.
Mass Effect.
I've never played it. I thought Mass Effect. I was going to say Gears because I always mix them up.
Nah.
It's big dudes in space, isn't it?
Gears don't. Nah. Doesn't make it to this podcast. We talk Mass Effect, we don't talk Gears.
Because we're not 14-year-olds.
Stop blocking my shots! That's what they say when you shoot your own men. They're merely obstacles.
Oh, God.
It's just toxic masculinity just in a game.
Man's shoulders aren't broad enough.
Yeah, you're not wrong, to be fair.
Whereas Mass Effect is top stuff.
Mass Effect's great, yeah. Mass Effect's fantastic.
I'll get around to it.
No, it is genuinely very, very good. I'd check it out. Anyway, listen, we're getting away from the point. Also with us today, and we're delighted to have him, Ensign Roshenko on the old Excelsior class.
Nice.
Can you get the reference? That's a hard reference, like.
Well, I'm assuming Star Trek.
You are, yeah. I'd give you a million points, like, if you could pull it. Be a hard one. Go ahead.
Star Trek 3.
No.
Is
no.
it when Sulu was captain of the Excelsior?
It's Worf's parents, Worf's father, his adopted father.
Get away.
He was an engineer on the old Excelsior class. Hey, listen.
Great.
Getting right in there early with some real poor guest.
Now to explain that to our guest.
No, that is a solid reference. I've been going through The Next Generation and had the episode where he comes back onto the Enterprise. And what about this?
No,
solid.
That's fantastic. Wow, that's a great episode. Oh, poor Worf. He just doesn't want to see his parents. It's weird. It's cute. That's Rob O'Sullivan, the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions. How you doing, Rob?
Hello.
Sorry, we nearly blazed right past you there.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, right. Happens.
Everything okay?
Oh, not too bad. Just busy.
Yeah?
Except yesterday I took a day off. It's real weird.
Yeah? How was that?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Glad to hear it.
Didn't do any work and it's kind of terrified me how easy it was.
Yeah, I didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous trap to fall into.
Don't want to get into that habit.
Let me tell you, it's a joy. That voice you heard there a minute ago, we're delighted to bring him into the mix. You know him from Project Bose, the incredible blog, soon-to-be podcast, fantastic fictive and non-fictive writing over there. I highly, highly recommend. You know him as the creative director of Adam and Ed Creative, the creative solutions company. You know him on Twitter from Super Adam OK. It's Mr. Adam OK.
Hey, what's the crack? How are you?
Hey,
that's
Adam.
Not how you're at, what your actual name is, but Adam O'Keefe, how you doing?
Not too bad, how are you?
Oh, very well, very well. How's
Adam OK is a very, like, keeps you grounded as a name. Adam, unbelievable. Just Adam OK.
Well, it's juxtaposed with the super. So
yeah,
super,
of course. Adam, yeah. Okay. Super Adam, to be fair.
I'm super okay.
Yeah, actually, that's nice. Super okay.
Yeah.
Super okay would be a great band name.
Yeah. Well, I've got that trademark, so back off.
No, well, apologies. Apologies. How are we all doing? Adam, how's your week been?
Good. It was just starting. It was looking like I was having one of those surprise day offs today up until you rang. So
and we nicked it from you. That's a little look behind the curtain at how late we are in our organizational skills.
Someone
really
asked me once, how do we pick who's on the podcast? And it's usually Sunday night.
Yeah.
And it's like, I haven't booked anyone. fuck.
Yeah. It happens a huge amount. But we listen, I am so happy that you were free and we could get you on the show. That Adam is a person who I have known for a long, long time. We did our masters in film together in UCD.
Yeah, been like little lepers out in the observatory out in the edge of the campus.
Exactly, yeah. That's where they kept us. Did you guys remember the observatory in UCD? Was that a thing that you guys ever came into contact with?
I know where it was. I was never up at it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I was always jealous.
It was a magnetic observatory they had in Trinity, and then they moved brick for brick and put in UCD for no real reason. But it looks like it. So it's a little weather observatory, but inside it in UCD, they just put a cinema screen.
Was it to get out of the lights of the city?
Haven't a clue. Don't know why they did it, to be honest. It looks like a little mausoleum.
Yeah. But did UCD just steal it, though?
I think they just absolutely really quietly pikied it out the back door.
Like one brick at a time. Yeah, they won't notice it.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
All I remember is every time we tried to go onto the campus, we get proper students throwing stones at us to tell us to get back out to our observatory. So
that's true. So. Yeah. Yeah. We had to wear bells. Yeah. But sure, listen, wasn't it all worth it?
Oh, by God, yeah. By God, in a way it was.
Joe, I ran into actually the other day, I ran into Harvey O'Brien, professor of the films.
Does
over
he still
there.
Wear the big hat?
He wasn't wearing it when I saw it. Yeah, it's a veritable 10-gallon. And Breffni O'Sullivan ran into both of them simultaneously in Still Oregon. It's like a little film place reunion. Okay, that's the words I'm going to use for that. So, Adam, yeah, sorry, you were saying your week. How's it been?
Well, it's only just begun because this is a Monday and this is my stolen day. So the rest of the week's looking pretty busy, though. So I'll tell you how the week's going once I finish this.
Fair play.
Whether
fair
I'm still
play.
Speaking to any of you.
Rob, any goss with the week has been?
Yeah, not too bad. Just doing a lot of recording. No, I'm trying to get this album done because I decided that...
Is this Davey's album?
No, that's another thing.
That's another thing completely.
Oh, sorry, the album, the Cooper Church Amendment album. Yeah. Oh, so. Very good.
I said on Twitter there a while ago, I was like, it's going to be out by the end of January, just to kind of put a fire under me.
Yeah.
It's not finished.
You do that a lot.
I really do.
Now that we've mentioned my one as well.
Yeah.
We'll do that. We'll finish it. Rob and I have the Odds On podcast.
Yeah.
After this podcast. Right. We're doing a big podcast shift today.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, we've got to re-record the intro to mine.
Yeah.
We're done. So, well, pretty much. Yeah, pretty
not
much
the intro done. As in the thing you'd be saying from the stage. Like,
it's clean.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Like what? So.
Oh, like the trigger warnings, effectively.
Trigger warnings. Yeah. All right. Okay.
People I don't know if that. You saw the show with trigger warnings, but I needed to put them in because people were leaving crying.
Comedy. I did. I actually did. I actually did.
Yeah,
you were behind the curtain talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're just gonna do a cleaner one.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
For the non-initiated, trigger warnings.
Like I'm gonna talk about some stuff that might upset people.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. He just talks about what happened to
Baby
what happened
Jane.
To those trolls, you know, the troll dolls you used to get in the 90s.
Did you ever wash their
where
hair?
Where did they go? Yeah.
Did you ever wash their hair with shampoo?
No.
It just didn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd pull the hairline
sorry,
way
Rob's
back.
Left the room crying.
You remember Supermax gave them out in their version of Happy Meals at one stage?
No.
No.
I'm from Dublin.
Remember this?
Explain Supermax for the international listening.
Some lad whose name is like McMahon right. from Galway decided to set up a rival to McDonald's yeah. and call it Supermax.
He's taken down dragons yeah. left and right.
And it's effectively a religion over there. Like yeah, if you can get a hotel room in Galway with the view of the Supermax in Air Square, it is akin to getting a hotel with the view of the Eiffel Tower in Paris. Yeah. Like it is.
It's very much the Champs-Élysées.
It is. It's of absolutely. Galway. I remember when Galway was liberated from the Nazis,
mm-hmm.
They marched right up Air Square and through mm-hmm. the front double doors of mm-hmm. Supermax.
Do you remember when they
it's
hung...
It's M-A-C-S as well. It's not even M-A-X.
Yeah. That's it.
Like a Supermax. In case people are like, oh, like a prison. Like a Supermax
no,
prison.
No,
nope.
M-A-C-S. I thought you were singing like the Disney song there. It sounded like you were going full Mouseketeer. Like M-A-C... Supermax is sad. Like,
really is. It's grim.
Adam, you're from down the country.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. All of us, we're all from the same part of the country. We're outside of Dublin.
Yeah.
Just that one congealed mass of.
Exactly, yeah, yeah, no.
Where culture are you? Where culture?
I'm Cork culture.
You're off.
Yeah.
I'm from Westlow, which is obviously deepest, darkest. It's the veritable Peru of Ireland.
Deepest, darkest.
Look,
Dublin
bus. Yeah. Dublin bus serves you, yeah.
You've been to my family home. It's very rural.
Yeah, I began to feel a bit like Colonel Kurtz when I stepped over.
I swear to God. Do you remember when we had
Dennis Hopper just running around?
Exactly. We had to take that riverboat to get there. Yeah.
You went there.
Sheep and a Protestant. That's pretty
Mary
much
Boff kill.
Yeah, I'm sheep Protestant.
Kill yourself.
Yeah. Two sheep. Yeah. So how long you been living up in Dublin now? You've been living...
Oh, yeah. They don't consider me a Cork person anymore than a Cork. I've been up here for beyond the statute of limitations. So far as they're concerned, I'm a dirty Dubliner and never once will I return.
You've gone past the age of consent
up
here.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm the smelly thing anytime I go back in there.
God almighty. See, I like going back to Wicklow, but it's not like there's no one down there to like get slack about. No one lives there.
Yeah.
So it's just, and you go back there and then you're there. And, and you have all of the no friends you had when you were there originally.
It's just more pronounced.
Yeah, exactly. It's more notable in their absence.
There's more room for the tumbleweed to just come on right through the living room.
Do you know what, though? There's something nice to be said about that. Something nice about rural isolation.
That's great. I went home for the weekend as well.
You were down in Cavan,
yeah,
right?
I just came up this morning. Loved the same, just that. Oh, nobody's here.
I didn't know until you messaged something in the group about you were watching Casualty, which is pure Cavan.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be watching Casualty in Dublin. There's no way.
Do you watch Casualty?
do you like a bit of Casualty, do you?
But you see, what happened was Curtis Casualty from Dream Team is in it now, right? But also Stuart
Curtis
from Dream Team was a guest in that episode. So there was two people from Dream Team in Casualty. So of course I had to text the group.
What was the name of the what was the name of the player that was assassinated in the FA Cup final in Dream Team?
God's
there was a guy that was
during the final.
Yeah.
What?
Who was like, I think it was a
it's
black
actually
called
fascinating
Black
that doesn't
like
that. Happen more.
That happened in like Iraq.
Yeah, that's
recently.
In Nigeria.
The refs have guns, don't they?
The refs in Nigeria have guns because they are under... Like, if you look at the Nigerian league tables, the home side wins just by default. Every game, the home side wins because there's, like, such crowd violence and stuff. Referees are legit terrified. And there's been, like, murders and stuff. So referees are just terrified to give any decisions to the away team. Because the home side's just gone mad. So refs in Nigeria now literally have sidearms.
So how does that work? How does that work with the league table then?
The league table is fucked. Like if you play in... Yeah. It means everyone is pretty much on the same points because every home team wins.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That would be great though if they had that in the Premier League and Wayne Rooney started coming at you.
Oh,
back
off! Fantastic.
Just back off.
That'd be great. That'd be fun. You did a good pull there. I know it's radio. You did a great little like draw.
Yeah, you got to be here.
Very intimidating.
Thank you.
One for the live audience. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Talking about football, which is what our audience has come here for.
Yep,
right.
I imagine.
They love it. They all around the world are really interested in how our fantasy football league is going. Right, but I'd like to bring it up. Rob, I was on an 8-game losing streak.
Sure.
Hadn't won a game of football. The Kansas City Shufflers had not won one game of football in eight weeks. Matches. They come up across the Cooper Church Rangers. And do you know what's brilliant? I want to do this, right? So I drafted Arnautovic, the Maltese Falcon, they call him.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know where he's from. Malta?
Austria.
Austria?
Yeah.
Listen, the Austrial Devil Cake, they call him. I drafted him at the start of the year. He did nothing. He's not scored a goal all year. And I dropped him a little while ago. And then you weren't here the other day, David, but I think it was maybe on the Thursday or the Friday. Killian and Donna gave me so much shit. I mean, so much shit for having like... For just swapping my midfield is like a merry-go-round. Like they just they come and go as I please. I dabble a lot, you know what I mean? And they were like, they saw that I got Arnautovic and Peter Crouch, who's 36,
yeah,
and hadn't played in the Premier League for some time, and Arnautovic, who hasn't scored, and I dropped him and now got him back. They gave so much shit. Sure didn't Arnautovic score twice and Crouch score once.
Oh, nice.
The shite they were giving me after it. But anyway, yeah. Rough luck, Cooper Church Rangers.
I mean, that's what I'm here for. I'm the morale boost of the league.
You have won one game
in
21 games.
21.
Or 22 games now?
I still maintain, Rob, looking at your team, there are some players you have made up. Like, you have somehow gone into the HTML and just Berg Goodmanson. That's sort of dark. Like, there's too many consonants in some of these names.
So you're doing well. You're doing. Who was the one person you bet?
Oh God, I can't remember.
Is it Killian? No, it feels like it'd be Killian.
I can check. I think.
Go on, have a look there.
Loading for me.
Wonder if I can check.
That is the problem. We usually record upstairs in the Stag's Head. We're in the Stag's Head today, boys. The only pub in Dublin with identity theft.
I think it was voted the best pub in Dublin. It won some award recently.
Well, they're mad for that. Like, you look at all the... You can see your fucking social media account the wall, there on the wall. They're mad for the old put us on TripAdvisor and all that carry on.
Yeah. They're good lads.
Asher, listen, we enjoy them. They're good to us anyway. They've given us the code. I keep forgetting it. The code to get to the upstairs. Like, it's like a 3-digit code. I forget it all the time. I have to ask them every week to let me in. Like, you know the code, don't you? I'm like, yeah, I forgot it again.
Is that your way of bonding? Is that way your way of showing love to
You'd think it would be, but they don't enjoy it.
They have other things to be doing.
Yeah, they are running a bar.
Rob, though, just so it doesn't look like he's totally sucking at fantasy football, in the odds-on league that we have, Rob joined the league 2 weeks after I did.
Is this a Premier League?
Yeah, it's the one we did last year.
Right, yeah.
And has passed me out.
Oh, fuck off.
Really? Giving me a bunch of shit on the podcast last week on the odds on. And then...
As is deserved.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So if you want to hear me smack talk Davey on a thing that I don't really care about, listen to the odds on podcast. Good.
So then I was like, fuck that. Did a wild card, like...
Reshuffle.
Everyone. 100% transfers. Then on Saturday, I was like... Soaring above Rob. I was like, yes, back in the back in the league, boys. I mean, we're still like 38.
Is this a head-to-head or is it a just straight?
No, well, at the moment it's me and Robert's doing a head-to-head.
Okay.
And then one of Rob's players got like a few goals the next day and he popped back above. So I prematurely talked smack on Saturday night, being like, fucking wildcard, boys.
And then I just send it back. It's like, sweet wildcard, man.
Who do you have on your team in that one?
I've got... Lukaku's my captain anyway. It's
Captain Lukaku.
Yeah.
I've got Lallana. He sails the stars.
I don't know. I auto-generated most of it.
That was the other thing. He auto-generated his team.
Fuck off. Yeah. He didn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing worse than being beaten at something by somebody who doesn't give a shit. Yeah, I know. So much. It's like your little sister beating you with Mario Kart.
I know what you mean.
It shouldn't be.
I know what you mean, Adam. You're
so that's what makes this really sweet. I don't really care. Yeah. I just joined for the crack.
Well. Yeah, you go fuck yourself.
Adam O'Keefe bringing the heat. Love it.
So like Ryan and Andrew are like competing. Like Ryan is in like the top three of the league.
Andrew's kind of mid-table. Middle,
yeah. And then me and Rob just down the very bottom.
Fighting for relegation.
That's it.
I was thinking about bringing in a thing where if you want to, because I'm the commissioner of our fantasy football league, which is like a draft one. There's only one of each player in the thing. You're a football man, Adam, aren't you?
Indeed, and I am.
You enjoy a football.
I bit my nails all the way through United Liverpool yesterday, so there we go.
Oh, of course, you're a Man United fan, aren't you?
I'm afraid so. That's not the reason I get expelled
from Cork. Oh, dear.
I just want to say this. Stevie this Wonder has more vision than Wayne Rooney. And it's just something that needs to be addressed because some of the passes he was putting about in that second half were ludicrous.
Woeful.
What did you think of the match, actually? This is an interesting one. And I do apologize to the listener because you don't come here for football talk. This isn't the football show. But Liverpool, the team I support, was playing Manchester United, the old rivals, whom David and Adam support.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday, we watched the match. I was raging at the end of it. It was a draw. It was a thrilling draw.
Thrilling one-all draw.
Thrilling. Well, it was better than the earlier game of the season between the two, which were seen nil-all draw. But like, Pogba is shite, lads. No.
Okay, Pogba he had a nightmare yesterday.
Pure muck.
No, like Pogba has been unbelievable the last 10 games or so.
For someone who has,
but he just chose the wrong moment to start dabbing, and it cost him.
Yeah, he dabbed a penalty away.
He did.
He did dab a penalty away. He'd hit his hand because he was dabbing hard. They also, along the side, because this is in Old
foolish.
Trafford.
Now that was a foolish move on his part.
They had, presumably he paid for it. You have to imagine.
Adidas did, but yeah.
Right, there was advertisements.
The hashtag Pogba.
Pogba
and
was...
His emoji face.
Is that what that was? Is that a downloadable emoji, is it?
Yeah.
oh, for fuck's sake, like, hate him then. Like, and he hate him.
After giving away the penalty, his confidence was rattled because then he just tried to break Jordan Henderson's neck. Oh, it was hilarious, but we got a free kick out of it, so it was grand.
That was actually ludicrous. Like, that was legitimately one of the most ludicrous things that didn't get called. But he, because in his emoji face on the thing, so there's advertisements literally for just Pogba's emojis. I didn't know that was what they was. I just thought it was loads of tiny Pogba faces. I didn't realise there were emojis.
Emoji pack, yeah.
And then just hashtag Pogba. And advertisements along, like, the banner that runs along the side of the pitch, like electronic banner thingy. And he had in the emojis, so he's planned his haircut very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a yellow streak in his hair, and then PP, his initials, written in yellow in fucking highlighter on his head.
Yeah.
And then he fucking breaks a lad's neck and gives away a penalty, like.
Yeah, but, like, if United had won, he'd be a genius. Oh, he'd have capitalized on. He took a risk, right?
That's a bit of a stretch.
I'm trying to help out the boys. No, Liverpool weren't great.
Liverpool, I thought, were the superior team throughout the 94 minutes.
I would not agree with that at all.
I thought
United control that midfield. They couldn't.
Carrick shat the bed. Carrick had little poos in his trousers.
Carrick didn't shit the bed. Adam Lallana played very well and stayed on.
You wash out your filthy mouth with Adam Lallana.
I know. He played well in the first half because he kept Carrick out of the game.
He did. He had him in his little pocket, so he did.
But United's pressure in midfield meant that the rest of Liverpool's diamond couldn't do anything. And Valencia and Darmian were up and down the wings.
Put his Mickey in his pocket.
In fairness, like, the problem United have, which is the same problem they've had all season, is they're just not clinical at the moment. They should have scored well before they equalised. So.
Yeah.
Are you still awake over there?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Yeah.
See, Rob's also conscious of we have to record a football podcast about 2 hours, so he's going to hear an Arsenal supporter and a Liverpool supporter just give me shit for the game.
Nah, lads.
I'll be on your side.
You just stick around.
Yeah, I will, yeah. Work the body, just, you know. body head.
You got to consider
the end of the day,
as
only
well.
One team scored from open play.
Very true. But, you know, as well, you know, Liverpool have lost Mane to the African Cup of Nations.
Yeah.
They were down Nathaniel Clyne with a bruise to the ribs and brought on a fucking 12-year-old to play opposite Anthony Martial. Who only shat the bed a tiny amount, which was great.
The kid?
Yeah. Trent Alexander-Arnold. He only had tiny little poos. but so he was doing very, very well against one of the fastest, like, right wingers in the world.
Because he could have been bent over a barrel.
He could have been. So it was great that he wasn't. Apart from that, like, Liverpool controlled that game. You know what I mean? Manchester United didn't get a look in the whole time. Wayne Rooney hobbled onto the pitch, which is ridiculous because he has hair implants.
You can't keep on taking advantage your head? Of Wayne Rooney. Like, he's like your older relative that's descending into your dotage if you've begun to take advantage of. That's just cheap pops.
If you had hair implants, would you shave your head? Like, what are you doing? You're wasting your hair implants.
That designer's double.
I swear to God, it's ridiculous.
He should have shaved the beard. Doing. That beard was giving him powers before Christmas and he got rid of it. Mm-hmm. And he's come back to being shite. Mm.
And look, the goal they scored from open play. They were playing pinball, lads. It's bouncing around.
Pinball wizard, that's what they call it.
Something was going to happen. Like, there was no rhyme or reason to the play. It's just classic Mourinho.
Plays by sense of smell. Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Boom.
Listen, Zlatan, I will grant you, is an adequate player of the football. He's an adequate player of the football.
It's his DNA we need to shoot into space to preserve the human race.
He's no Divock
Origi. If aliens ever attack us, fucking Zlatan is going
to
have right up there in front.
No, he's no Divock Origi. I think we can all agree.
We should probably move away from this because I'm enjoying it, but I know American listeners have no interest in soccer.
All of our listeners.
Yeah. Go for it. Hey guys, we'll let you back to us in a second.
But first, more us.
I just want a quick little chat.
Loot Crate is the monthly curated crate for geeks and gamers. This is one of our favorite things in the world. We have been long fans of Loot Crate long before we started the podcast, and we're really, really enjoying
the stuff from Loot Crate.
We have so much Loot Crate stuff, each one of it more precious than the last. Each month, they send you 4 to 6 items with a retail value of a minimum, a guaranteed $45, so you're robbing them blind. Exclusive stuff, if you don't get it on that month, it's gone. And you'll never, ever, ever see it again. January's theme is Origins. Unbox January's crate and behold the iconic origins of the greatest heroes the world has ever known. This month's featured franchises include Superman, Marvel, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Heroes if you're in the States, and Nintendo. Nintendo, my favorite thing. January's crate Origins ends on the 19th of January at 9 p.m. Pacific time.
You don't get your orders in before then, you will not be able to receive.
You ain't Origins. Getting the loot crate.
What a better crate to start your loot crate subscription than Origins.
It's poetic. Prescient. It's written in the stars. So why not go to lootcrate.com/stoneface? And hey, when you get to check out, make sure you use promo code BADLADS.
BADLADS.
And get a few quid off your subscription. Let them know that the boys in Dublin sent you.
If you like our podcast, you'll like what's in Loot Crate, because it's pretty much the physical manifestation of what we're talking about.
Loot Crate, the number one pop culture crate for geeks and gamers. Check it out now.
Oh, I watched Virunga.
Virunga, superb film.
Have you seen Virunga?
No, I haven't.
John was talking about it on the podcast.
About fucking monkeys,
before.
Isn't it? In it, bruv.
Yeah, it's about...
It's about fucking monkeys. About a bunch fucking of boys.
Fucking gorillas over in the Congo.
These boys come in trying to fucking kill gorillas so I can get the oil, you know.
Yeah, it's class.
Fucking sneaky monkey boys.
You probably have no idea what we're talking about.
None.
So it is the Congo?
It is the Congo.
It's Congo. There's a national park, Virunga National Park, and there's a bunch of gorillas on it that are sound, but there's not a huge amount of them left. So there's a bunch of
only native or naturally existing mountain gorillas left on the planet are in this very small area of the Congo.
And the Congo, obviously, when Africa was colonized, it was the only one that was privatized. It was straight just, you are a business now. King Leopold, you're in charge of this business. So then when the guy in the 60s got independence for it, the West were like, nah, fuck that. He gets killed a year or two later. And then the Congo has just been fighting since. But this national park is like the one area that has not had any fighting. And it's always viewed as like, lads, look how peaceful this is. We could, like, it's like this hope symbol. Mm-hmm. But then they find oil underneath it. And this English company called Soka are like, cool, we're going to have some of that oil. And they're like, you can't dig into it. It's like, oh, Grant, we're going to pay this militia to go fucking off some gorillas. So then once the gorillas are dead, you won't want to look after the park. Unbelievable.
So literal English lads. Well, first of all, it's a mining conglomerate to go and just hire like a straight up militia to go to assassinate gorillas so that there's, well, if there's no gorillas there, no one will bother protecting the national park anymore, because there's a group of men who volunteer as like soldiers who
they're
legit,
just like they're park rangers, like the lad who rings the bell in Stephen's Green to let you know the gate's closing. Except they have AK-47s and are going to die.
RPGs, like
yeah. Shit, the RPGs.
There's RPGs where they're like on the park rangers,
going
like,
through swamps, like something out of Platoon or Apocalypse Now just with RPGs.
Just because poachers are, and like it's crazy. So then this oil company, British oil company, comes in and wants the place for itself. So they hire, or they pay money through a rebel militia to take over the area so that there's no government control, so that they can do. So it's literally like a civil war based on the oil towards killing these gorillas. And it just follows the park rangers as they're trying to protect these gorillas.
French,
so
this is documentary?
Documentary.
There's this French one who's like something out of the resistance in World War II. Yeah, she's just a French journalist, always smoking, who's just going undercover, meeting all these people. Like, she's insane. Like, she's just the coolest person. And then there's this Belgian dude who, I looked him up afterwards. He's a prince. He's a prince in Belgium.
Which guy?
The white dude.
Right.
The one white guy.
Oh, the white.
De Merode.
Right.
Manuel de Merode.
Well, that makes sense.
But he's a prince, right? And he's still like, I'm gonna be the last man to leave this park. Like, he's... Yeah, unbelievable.
He's the only white dude in, which is like, it's touchy, man. The race relations stuff. I mean, look, it's the way that it is. Yeah, it's its own documentary, absolutely. But it's, you know, he's like the general of the park rangers, but he is like, I'm gonna go down with the ship. Like, we're making our stand here. Yeah. The militia are coming. We're protecting these gorillas.
And he's like, guys, if you want to go, incredible, you just can go. I'm gonna be the last person to leave. Like, he's.
If you remember, when a couple of weeks ago, we were asked what our films of the year was, and that was my film of the year. Mm. It was on this podcast. Actually, do you know what I wanted to say?
It's 2014, but it
I thought it was. I misremembered. Mm. I thought it was, you know.
No, what's it called again?
Virunga. Oh,
okay.
It's on Netflix.
It's the name of the park.
It's fucking great.
I watched the Ivory game as well, which is similar, but about ivory.
Right.
And as well as like very similar. Mm-hmm. It's got like the various park rangers. And then there's this Chinese lad who goes undercover because the mm-hmm. ivory trade is so big in China. So all of the ivory dealers or the poachers in Africa just presume this Chinese guy is going to be on their side. So they're like, yeah, you want to come in and look where we keep all our ivory? He's like, oh, God. I'm an investigative journalist. Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's like 2 hours long though. And there's a lot of dead elephants. A lot of.
I can't be doing it.
Yeah, it's heavy. Like it's
Elephants are class.
Yeah.
Elephants are class.
I believe you.
Do you know, last week we were asked what our favorite music videos were.
Mm.
I said, All Is Full of Love by Bjork, which is a great music video. But you know something? I watched a music video the other day, and it reminded me how much I loved the video. And I was like, oh, I should have mentioned that. So I'm mentioning it now.
Go.
Is Elastic Heart by Sia.
Which one is that?
It's the greatest thing Shia LaBeouf has or will ever do.
Incredible.
I don't think I know it. I can only think of the one of Chandelier where she's running through the house.
Yeah, it's Maddie Ziegler as well, but she's dancing with Shia LaBeouf in like a big cage. It's incredible.
Okay.
Yeah, it's legitimately one of the best.
I remember the hype for it, not the hype, but like it's clearly justified. Album, but yes. Just
I was such a twat as well because I went to the Grammys when Sia was playing and Andrew was like up against Sia for, I mean, I don't know how you put it like that, but. Yeah. They were both up for the same thing. And I didn't know Sia for and I was sitting next to Maddie Ziegler's mother.
Yeah.
And she was just like, oh, you know Maddie? Like, she's in the video. So I was like, nah. I hadn't a clue. I wish I'd known a little. It's that way that, like, I went and saw the Rolling Stones before I knew anything about the Rolling Stones. Yeah. You know what I mean? I wish I'd known about it.
Did anybody mention the best video? My favorite video anyway is the Uncle video for Rabbit in Your Headlights. With the guy that's running along the middle of the street and all the traffic keeps on running him over.
Yeah, I know the one. Yeah.
No?
Someone gave that to me as a visual reference.
Yeah,
at some point.
Yeah, and Tom York does the vocal on the track.
Right, okay.
I know the one.
It's one that was ripped off for, like, you know, Night Watch and Day Watch, those movies.
Yeah.
There's a homeless guy and he stands in the middle of the road and his car crashes around him. It's that, basically.
Okay,
right, yeah. No, I know the one. I can't remember who, but one of the projects I had over the last while, someone gave that to me as like a visual reference. Like, this is, we want something like this, but isn't this, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
Seen the video.
Rip this off. Don't rip this off.
Yeah. Rip this off from a distance. Cocaine by Fiddler.
No, I haven't.
Oh, the one with
Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman, that's incredible.
She don't lie. She don't lie.
Oh, my God.
She don't lie.
As in the J.J. Cale cocaine. Song, Cocaine.
No.
Which is what he's
saying. Yeah. No.
It's such a good video.
It's just this, like, sort of noise punk band, F-I-D-L-A-R.
That was in I wrote a paper where I talked about that video at length, actually.
Oh, yeah. I remember,
when I was doing a whole thing about
Nick Offerman.
Mm-hmm.
Just leaving his, like, his workshop.
He gets fired and he gets loads of booze.
He just drinks loads of bottles of 40s and just starts pissing everywhere.
Everything.
Everywhere. But like with a little prosthetic dick and he's just pissing everywhere. And it's so funny.
Yeah.
It definitely appeals to some part of the real deep anthropological male brain.
It's real.
It's the reason guys don't ever grow out of liking Jackass. Like, it's that kind of is dumb.
I've said before, if I ever stop liking Jackass, I want to be put down.
Yeah,
if I stop finding it funny, I'm dead already.
I think
it's just dumb, but it's like it's real good.
Yeah.
You seen Bad Grandpa?
No, I never saw it actually.
Oh, it's so
Bad Grandpa's. It is very.
You seen it?
Is that Robert De Niro?
No, that's Dirty
that's
Grandpa.
Dirty Grandpa.
Oh, no, I haven't seen Bad Grandpa. I haven't seen either of them.
Bad Grandpa is the Oscar-nominated Jackass movie.
I think it was for makeup, to
it
be
was,
fair.
But I... Yeah. It was, but it doesn't stop it being an Oscar-nominated Jackass
very
movie.
Very fair.
It's just Johnny Knoxville as the old man character. It's sort of semi-scripted. There's a bit of a narrative to it. It's just super funny.
You see, if I had a kryptonite, cringe comedy would be my kryptonite. I can't physically sit down through things like The Office. I just can't do it to myself. I'll have vacated the premises before I even know what's going on.
Some of it's just good slapstick as well.
Well, good slapstick I can get behind.
I don't suppose you saw the David Brent movie that came out a little while
Couldn't
ago.
Couldn't do it to myself. Yeah,
I watched it the other day and I'd not seen it before. And I mean, they really, in a profound way, they, if you want to say they started or perfected that sort of cringe comedy with The Office, I mean, they take that to its logical conclusion. Like,
oh,
they,
really?
They
oh,
wow. end cringe comedy oh. with it. Like, it's fucking vicious.
I only watched The Office like 3 years ago, because when it was on first, mm-hmm. I would have been like my early teens.
Oh, I loved it. I watched it every week as it was coming out.
Couldn't. So I was like, this is shit. Like, I just couldn't get my head around it.
At the time, my dad actually worked in an office and was just like, this is the funniest thing ever. Like,
I just couldn't get into it. Mm-hmm. And then as I got older, Ricky Gervais became more famous, and his public persona was like, oh, this guy's the fuck.
Yeah, I always didn't like him.
I always mark his appearance in The Simpsons, the episode of The Simpsons he wrote.
Right.
That was the real turning point of when I went off The Simpsons, because it was so self-indulgent.
It wasn't a good episode either.
And have you seen it?
Yeah, but surely The Simpsons had gone long
I know,
that.
But I was still watching it. Like, that was just the point where I was like,
you were still hanging in there.
I was really, yeah.
Dennis Hopper in Apocalypse Now. I'm not leaving, man.
Yeah. But
a lot of NAMM references today. I love it.
But then I went back and watched The Office a few years ago. But I was like, oh, it's on FX. I was mm-hmm. like, holy shit, this is perfect. Like,
yeah.
And then I went, Extras is great.
Extras is superb.
But I find Extras easier to stomach than
I think Extras is better. I think that might be, that's my personal opinion. But like the Christmas episode of Extras, the Christmas special.
So it starts off in The Big Brother.
It ends in The Big Brother. Yeah. Well, yeah, actually it does start off there, doesn't it? And then loop back. It's just one of the most perfect pieces of television.
You tweeted about watching a show over the weekend.
Sure did. Series of unfortunate events on
Netflix. And your tweet, Rob, wasn't a spoiler, but it has changed how I'm watching it.
Ah, you prick. What'd you say?
I just said it was glorious and heartbreaking and just...
Don't...
So
I'm only a few episodes in.
Yeah, okay. It starts off with don't watch this.
Yeah,
this is
it's
hard
great.
To watch.
Yeah.
Like, that's what
I think I'm
is
sick,
said.
I
Good, that's the start of
the opening credits are just,
like,
this isn't going to be good. You're not going to enjoy this.
This isn't going to be pleasant.
It's
turn away.
I've watched up
that's
as far
the book
as
opens.
Yeah, yeah.
The Wide Window Part 2 is the episode I'm just about to go on to. It is class.
It is brilliant.
So I was a fan of the film.
I haven't seen the film.
Yeah. Jim Carrey, was it?
Yeah.
So it's Neil Patrick Harris.
It looks very
it's
similar.
It's got a similar tone to it. I think it's more fleshed out. It's I think it's much better.
Is it doing the starting off with the same story?
Yeah. It's running through so there's 13 books, I think.
And yeah. So have you read them?
I only read The Wide Window, I think.
Okay.
So I didn't even read the first one. But they're doing like each pair of episodes is one book.
I was wondering about
and
that.
And then
okay.
they move on to the next one, and it's just so they've got 8 episodes so far, so they've covered 4 books, so probably 3 seasons. They'd probably cover
right. Yeah, it's
but it's
great.
Top-notch.
It looks
it's
it
really,
looks
really good.
Really good. I saw some tweets earlier about it, and they talked about it in the same way that I would consider Roald Dahl.
Right,
like
okay.
it's very Roald Dahl.
You can
in that,
see
so
that. You can see that even in the original, like a slightly darker.
So that's the thing. I've
Roald
not seen
Dahl.
The. I've
right,
not
right,
seen
right.
the.
So
let
good.
Me say the movie, but it's that like, thing of like adults are the worst. Don't trust adults.
Yeah,
it's a bit like when you look at Harry Potter through the optics of Roald Dahl. Because I sort of, like, Harry Potter was a thing, and then I sort of slightly rediscovered Roald Dahl, and then I went back and saw Harry Potter again, and you're like, oh, fuck, man, all these names are Roald Dahl names. Like,
oh,
all the fucking Phineas Fudge and all this, like,
I
it's pure Roald Dahl.
I reread some of the Roald Dahl books last year, and this is probably the first time since my childhood that I'd actually sat down to read, like, the BFG and Matilda and the Witches and stuff like that.
Have you seen the BFG film, actually, that Spielberg made?
Yeah. No, I haven't seen it yet.
It's fucking great.
Yeah, I heard it's great.
It's really great.
Mark Rylance.
Mark Rylance.
It's really superb.
Yeah. It's surprisingly hilarious as well, because they have a lot of work. Because I didn't remember how simple the story of the BFG is. She goes there, she comes back, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
But they still managed to capture so much of it. But what I hadn't
and it's incredibly true to the book as
well. Yeah.
They don't vary it like the end of the book, which I wouldn't have thought they would have done. Can we say, is this a spoiler?
It's hard because have you read the...
Yeah, I grew up reading.
But in the book, they go to the Queen to try and talk to the Queen. And I just thought, like, oh, there's no way they're doing that. Big American audience, there's not a hope. And they do it perfectly.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's beat for beat. And just like then they have breakfast with the Queen, and then there's all the visual comedy. It's fucking
Rafe Spall is the head butler in Buckingham Palace. It is a hidden gem in that film.
Great.
No, it's really, really great. adaptation. Totally worth watching. Like,
but reading back through the books, I don't think I'd remembered exactly how dark Roald Dahl could get.
Like, and George's Marvelous Medicine is like super dark.
The witches, unbelievably dark.
Yeah, it's like his grandest. It's gone.
All right. I don't remember that one actually.
George Marvelous Medicine is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's one of the shortest ones as well. So you'd read it in half an hour, no problem. But he really does dig in. Actually, there's a fantastic. Do you remember Jack and Ori from BBC?
Yeah.
There's a fantastic Jack and Ori with Rick Mayall reading George's Marvelous Medicine. Oh, and it's on YouTube in a couple of parts. I couldn't recommend it highly enough.
No, check it out.
Yeah, it's really worth it.
Do you know what else actually was on Netflix that I know David had, I think he had seen previously, but I had not seen, and is new to Netflix, and I fucking love, is The Detectorists.
We're watching it. Toby Jones.
Toby Jones and
Mackenzie Crook.
Mackenzie Crook
writes and directs it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And the two of them are metal detectorists going around the countryside.
Just kind of just chatting.
Just chatting, talking shite.
Kind of like a mockumentary kind of deal.
No,
it's kind of just a straight comedy drama.
Cool.
But the way what it does really spectacularly is it creates a visual and emotional tone of the countryside in the rare old days. It's sort of like watching The Last of the Summer Wine. Like, it's,
oh my god, that's, yeah, it captures
a very specific, very relaxed, very engaging tone, but a very supportive emotional tone.
So, like, it's contemporary, it's set current day, but yeah, it captures that.
Like, for something that is about, like, lonely metal detectorists, you would imagine, like, let's say if Ricky Gervais made that show, it would be, what was the name of their, what was the name of the show they set in the mental asylum?
Derek.
Yeah. It would be Derek, right? It would be, they'd wring every last emotional fucking, they'd wring every tear out of you.
Well, they'd hollow it. They'd use a scalpel and just gut you.
Exactly, right. And make you, you know. But weirdly, for Toby Jones and Mackenzie Crook being metal detectorists with, you know, no friends and empty lives.
Yeah.
Like, it's the most fucking, it's not sad, it's just the most heartwarming, affirming, cozy. And like, January is at the moment it's grey and nightmare, like it's the worst time of year. And Detectorist is the fucking perfect antidote to it. I would highly recommend
it. Two seasons, they're both up on Netflix.
I think 2 weeks ago they got put up, right? Recently enough.
Because I watched them both over since New Year. Mm. And I'm like, I was like, put them on again in the house. I was like, oh, they're just really nice to watch.
Yeah, like not cinematic in the way it portrays the countryside landscape, very televisual, but in that it's like the opening sequence is like you're about to watch Songs of Praise or something.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's just nice
cozy TV.
And warm, really great.
And Simon Farnaby's in it.
Yeah.
You know Simon Farnaby?
Which one?
Simon Farnaby is he's in Mighty Boosh. He's one of the fake
he's Pieface Records. Mighty
Boosh. Oh yeah. But you know, he's
also the actor with the head of an acorn.
Oh yeah, he's in it a bit.
He's in it a few times.
But he's the rival pair.
Zookeeper or something.
He's not the two guys, one of them when they start doing the,
you're right, he is.
Oh, yeah, and I know
Simon Farnaby in everything he's in is the rival version of the main character.
Yeah, yeah. He's in Horrible Histories. He plays Death in Horrible
he's
Histories.
He's fucking great in Horrible Histories.
Simon Farnaby is brilliant.
Yeah, I know him, yeah.
His stupid hair. He's great.
Detectorists, lads. And also, Toby Jones and Mackenzie Crook are both super. Like, Toby Jones
incredible.
In particular is a fucking genius actor.
Yeah. That is not his voice. Like, that is not his. He's got such a really thick rural accent.
Was it Capote he was in or In Cold Blood?
Infamous.
Infamous.
Which
you're
I haven't seen, though.
Yeah.
I'm
right.
dying to see. Because apparently that's the better of the two, isn't it?
But it was the second one that came out, so
that's
it got less.
Armageddon. To
the Deep Impact.
Deep Impact. Deep Impact.
Are they both about the same thing?
I think they both are surrounding his time writing
in
Cold Blood. Yeah.
Okay.
So the very sort of specific time in Truman Capote's life.
And Daniel Craig is in one of them?
Probably. Can't remember which one.
I've seen neither of them. So
I think he's probably in Infamous, actually, because I don't remember. I've seen Capote.
Right.
It's Philip Seymour Hoffman, isn't it?
Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's Grant.
Yeah, it is. It's grand. But like Toby Jones, just he's got such heart whenever he comes on to anything. You can't help but like him, even when he's a detestable git.
Even when he's a computer boy in the Marvel films.
Even when he's a literal Nazi.
Nazi computer boy.
But he's like these crop of actors that really shouldn't have made it as far as they have. Because it looks so weird.
Like that John C. Reilly boy. You know, Rat-Faced Boy.
Mackenzie Crook, you're referring to. Very unfair. We're singing his praises.
He's in Tyrannosaur. Ooh, he's the
Danny
villain in Tyrannosaur.
From my school.
Yeah, him too. Have you seen Tyrannosaur, Paddy Considine's?
I've seen the short film that Tyrannosaur is based on. I haven't seen Tyrannosaur.
Tyrannosaur is one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
The least enjoyable movie I've ever seen. Mm. Not a fun one.
It's one of those. It's a man bites dog.
Man Bites Dog is the Belgian.
I think it's French, actually.
I think it's Belgian. It's French.
Is it?
Yeah. It's in French, but I think it. Yeah.
I thought it was French.
That was like my, as a teenager, my dickhead. Guys, have you heard about this movie? Like,
it's very Belgian.
He's the rat faced boy. Rat boy. Come on, guys.
I'm pretty sure you're talking about Danny, who I went to school with.
Imagine if it was.
I'm pretty sure you're talking about Danny.
Are you Googling Rat Faced Boy?
No, I'm going to look up Tyrannosaur on IMDb.
He's in some ad at the moment for
Google
deaf people.
Danny.
Come on, guys. We watch enough media between us. That rat-faced boy that advertises deaf people should get a fee.
What? Rat-faced boy who advertises deaf people?
Yeah, like, on the telly.
Come to rat-faced boys, deaf people emporium.
That doesn't sound far from his voice, actually.
Jesus. So we're looking for someone
it's
with...
Loading.
Voice of Toby Jones.
Lost my internet.
We're down the basement, lads. We're recording downstairs.
In the
today.
Basement of podcasting.
We're fucked.
He's in that Simon Pegg movie with the world's ending.
Oh, the Paul, the alien.
No, yeah. The world's end.
Yeah.
The
one he's one of the boys.
On the pub crawl.
Yeah. He's the guy who isn't Paddy Considine.
Oh, he doesn't play Niki Lauda in Rush, does he?
No.
So he's got a real.
Daniel Brühl.
Yeah.
Danny from your school.
Yeah.
Rat faced boy. I think you might have played Ratty in Wind in the Willows.
Oh, right.
You can keep saying Rat-Faced Boy all you like.
Rat-Faced Man, I suppose.
Niki Lauda from...
Daniel Brühl.
Yeah.
It's not him.
He's in Goodbye Lenin, right? That's him? That's the same guy?
Yeah.
That was a good film. I enjoyed that.
I just know Jan Tiersen did the soundtrack to it.
And he's also...
Eddie Marsden. There we go.
He does look like a rat.
Ah, he looks like...
I like how I remembered his name.
He just looks
as
like...
Just as I was saying it.
Eddie Marsden is a great actor.
Discount Bradley Cooper.
Eddie Marsden is a...
He's the deals version of...
No, like it's skewed. Someone opened a photo of Bradley Cooper in Photoshop and didn't hold down shift when they were skewing it. Yeah.
He's the pre-mark.
But you see what I mean? Like, he's a weird-looking dude.
Yeah.
But he's just a very good actor.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he'd be in that class.
Yeah.
And, like, Paul Giamatti and John C. Reilly would be in that class as well. They shouldn't have made it as far as they did, but they're so damn good.
Adam O'Keefe, it's worth noting, is an incredibly talented actor and director of all sorts. I've seen you do some dramatic stuff.
Dramatic stuff in the name of academia.
You've got some fucking. You've got some chops.
I got some game.
He's got chops like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, what are we acting in?
No, I think he's referring to my thesis presentation in back when we were in the.
I'm also.
Did you act
I'm
today?
Also referring
I did,
to.
Yeah, I had. Well, it was on. It was on interactive and 3D and the space between the viewer and the thing, so I recorded myself and projected on the big screen and then had a thing where I talked to myself.
It's very Jurassic Park.
I was influenced greatly by a piece of DNA wandering around the screen.
Hello, John.
I tell you what, L. Charles Barr, the nearly 90-year-old Hitchcock professor, he didn't dig it.
he didn't
get it. Not enjoy it.
I think he died of a delayed heart attack like 3 years later when he'd finally assimilated what he'd seen.
I think he's still knocking about. I saw him in the IFI not so long ago. Okay. Fingers crossed. Just ask, he's still with us.
Asking if Rebecca was going to be shown anytime soon.
He was so angry at us as a class that we didn't know that Rebecca was the first film he made in the American system. He asked us, like, was the first film Hitchcock made in the American system, and we didn't know it was Rebecca, and he legitimately... Do you remember that? He lost
large portions.
he really, really, really didn't appreciate that we didn't know that.
That was a question on Eggheads the other day. That's
really?
Rebecca's in my head.
There you go. God, they were good days.
Good days.
Hey, guys. It's David and the dying spirit of John. I like this one. Just want to say thanks for listening, and I want to let you know how much we appreciate your continued support. As always, we ask that if you do enjoy our podcast, please share it, retweet it, like us on Facebook, tell your friends if you think this is the sort of thing they would be into. You have some strange friends. If you want to check out some other podcasts, don't forget to check out the Sentinel Audio Podcast Network, where you can check out such great podcasts as The Fine Ale Countdown and the Odds On Podcast.
I for the first time ever, I've come across Black Mirror. I'd never watched it before.
Oh, I still haven't got around to it.
Oh my god.
Still making my way through the old seasons before I get to the new season.
Oh really?
So.
Oh, it's so good. Lads.
I'm only four in. I've just seen the Donald Gleeson one.
Oh, I love
like,
it.
They are just such well written. They're like
sci-fi
short stories.
So you're going from season
stories.
One forward.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're perfectly executed.
Yeah. All I've seen was about 2 years ago. John Hamm was on The One Show and they were interviewing him about
that. Was a Christmas one, I think.
The Christmas episode. And it just showed a clip of the one he was in. I was like, I think Rafe Spall is in that episode.
Is he, yeah?
As well. And I was like, oh, this is.
Have you not seen any of them, no?
None of them.
That's fucking. You should get on them. They're great.
And now that they're on Netflix, I really.
Yeah, super, super, super good. Like,
because I fucking love Charlie Brooker. Yeah.
Have you seen Dead Set?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Have you seen Dead Set?
No, I haven't.
I never watched it.
Oh, it's so good. It's Charlie Brooker has written Big Brother. But there's a zombie. It's pretty much there's a zombie apocalypse. But what about the people who are in Big Brother at the time?
Yeah. So like the first
Charlie Brooker.
The first person they come across is zombie Davina McCall. Like
amazing.
Yeah. Kevin Eldon is in it. Class. Okay. So good.
It's really great.
You ever read Charlie Brooker's old? I have a book in my home. His old TV reviews, like that he used to do for The Guardian.
Yeah.
He fucking loved the first season of Big Brother. He was like, "This is genius." Yeah. Like he just.
It was.
Loved it.
It
yeah.
was, to a degree. It really was. Do you know what, actually, talking about Charlie Brooker, over the weekend, you weren't there on Friday night.
Yeah.
It was me and Donna and Killian were in, and I put on Philomena Kunk Does Shakespeare.
Philomena so Kunk Does good.
Christmas. I think
They're
Does Christmas.
Amazing.
And they are legitimately one of the funniest things I've ever seen
Have
in my entire
it?
Life.
No, this is like new. I'm just got a notebook here. I'm taking down all this.
Do you watch like New Swipe or Swipe the year end of year swipe wipe things?
So we'd have on Philomena Kunk and Barry Shitpeas.
Barry Shitpeas.
It was fine. We
just don't get it.
Yeah.
Barry Shippies is just like an EastEnders style character.
Yeah, who would do like, they do like talking heads of, oh, this happened this year or this was on
a. He fucked a pig, I don't know why. Like, yeah. It's just. Or like, he's always dismissive.
Like, they'd be talking about, you know, The Night Manager starring yes. Loki. And it'd be like, they did a remake of Fawlty Towers and they called it The Night Manager.
Except, yeah.
You know, and he's like, where is.
There's no humour in it anymore. It's not as funny. When Basil finds a body, it's just sad. Like.
So it's really, really great. But anyway, of those two characters, Philomena Kunk, who is performed by Diane Morgan, her name is, they did these things called Moments of Wonder with her, and she did like philosophy and feminism, all of which are really, really good in and of themselves. But the Kunk on Shakespeare and Kunk on Christmas are...
So they're spin-off shows.
Mm-hmm. They're just like hour-long documentaries in the style of a Brass Eye, that actually verges into Ali G style territory because there's so much sitting down with serious academics.
Yeah.
And then just, there's one on Kunk on feminism. So it's just a like little 5 minute long short one.
Yeah.
But it's like, she's just like talking to a really serious feminist academic. And it's just like, when a woman looks in the mirror, does she see an equal woman or a better woman? And then the academic's like, well, you know, she'll probably see what she wants to see and what she hopes to see. And it's all this like, when they're looking in the mirror, why is it left to right or switched, but up and down isn't? And the feminist lady's like, presumably because that's the way mirrors are designed. Which isn't true, by the way.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not her wheelhouse, but yeah.
And then she just goes, what powers mirrors? It's like, hold on, you're not the mirror expert. It's fucking, she just goes on a weird tangent.
And some of the people she sits down with, like, get it. Like, they're like, okay, she's. But then you get
the
like.
The majority don't.
Yeah, you
majority
get like don't. The equivalent of the 90-year-old Hitchcock expert who's like, what is that? Like, just don't get it. So in the Christmas one, she's talking to all these theologians who are just. Not a clue.
Just not in on the joke. That's the funniest thing.
Yeah. So Brooker writes those as well.
Okay, yeah.
It's 100% worth checking out.
You know Charlie Brooker founded CEX?
Get lost. No, he didn't.
He's one of the three founders of CEX.
No, he didn't.
And then he spent all his time smoking weed in his apartment in London, and the rest of them were like, this isn't how you're right. And he's like, all right, cool, I'm going to write jokes.
Is that true?
Swear to God, Charlie Brooker was one of the founders of CEX.
I did not think... I still don't really believe that's true, but...
I don't believe you.
Yeah. Fact check that later.
I don't believe you.
That could have been the propaganda lying. They fed me when I worked there. You're like, you just say he's going to leave. Tell him someone he likes.
Tell him Charlie Brooker came here.
You know,
never not in the slogan.
Jean-Pierre Jeunet designed the logo. I'm like, oh, great.
There you go. It's like a Dali Chupa Chup situation.
What?
Yeah, you know, Salvador Dali created the Chupa Chups logo.
What?
That's a true fact.
What? And when David Attenborough, another logo-based artist fact, when David Attenborough was head of BBC Two, he'd lined up Picasso to do the BBC logo, and they just pulled the funding on him in the last moment.
Oh, wow.
But they would have had a Picasso BBC Two logo.
I think they're grand. They're just rocking Verdana, all caps, like, probably be fine. Should we take a question from the listener, actually?
Right, Charlie Brooker started CEX.
Is it the same Charlie Brooker?
Yeah, it is, because he's down as cynical student type of buddy. Yeah.
All right.
In 92, in London. Anyway.
There you go.
That's Dali logo, really?
That's a true fact.
Do you mind if I look that up? Because I actually just...
Please go right ahead.
Dali. How do you spell Chupa Chup?
Chupa. C-H-U-P-A.
Oh, yeah.
C-H-U-P.
No. Dali Chup, got it.
Yeah.
Fuck off, yeah.
Be worried if it didn't.
1969.
There you go.
How did they get? How did they land him?
Don't know.
Headquarters Barcelona, Spain. That's where he lived. That's
I'm
going
to guess money.
Money. Yeah,
I did a decent job.
Attenborough Picasso. That's a. I love that those two people had a conversation.
Yeah,
though.
Isn't that great?
You wouldn't think.
Yeah, like
that,
David Attenborough is like the grandfather of the whole planet. Like you're so nice.
Planet Earth 2 is the greatest thing.
We need to splice his DNA with Latin's and just
what are you talking about?
Create the perfect human,
like a really kind and gentle. Kick-ass alien invader.
6'5" peak fitness. Yeah. Imagine if we just put Attenborough's brain in Zlatan's body, and we'd be getting Planet Earth 49. Like they never stop.
But wouldn't like David Attenborough's humility like be like antimatter to Zlatan's confidence?
He'd just crumble.
Yeah, I think it'd be create like a mini black hole right in the center of the planet.
Just left with a hairband on the ground.
Man United are the worst, aren't they, Rob?
Sure.
You're right behind me here.
Okay, two things real quick. Congratulations to Max Zaska, who we did a video for years ago. Had a baby yesterday.
Did he really?
Yeah, well, his missus had.
Oh,
but
well,
congrats.
I think it might have been like a month ago, wasn't it?
Well, he put a photo up.
Unless
on Twitter
she is
yesterday.
They are quick workers.
Right.
Okay. It was just at the end of December they had the baby.
Well, congratulations.
Well, do you know what? Doesn't matter. Who are we to go into specifics? Sorry for correcting.
No, it's all right. They just literally.
I was just thinking that was a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Yeah. But congratulations to Max Zaska.
Yeah.
Lovely, lovely man. And Sharon, his lovely wife.
Sharon, I couldn't remember her name.
Good man.
Babby, they've got a baby. Real quick question from Fionn Cleary, friend of the show.
Football club.
Fionn Cleary, who says, I've been listening to this pod for a year now, so I thought I'd ask a similar question to the first one he submitted. He asks, if there was a stone-faced religion, what would the commandments and practices be? Who would be the deities? We answered this while sitting in the Red Cow Roundabout Hotel.
Yeah, it was a political party.
It was political party, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, what would the tenets of the political party be?
Yeah, like? So now we're going religion,
commandments. I like how we've evolved.
Yeah, like all good political parties.
Do you know what? Yeah, it's a very different political landscape on a planetary
kinda
scale
is, isn't it?
Than it was a year ago.
Yeah.
You can get away with a lot more. Just declare it a religion. Why the fuck not?
Yeah.
A year ago, we were just giving out about our own government.
Yeah.
But now we've got a lot more to deal with.
If anything, we can push to be a bit more extreme, because by comparison, we'll still be all right.
Yeah. UN Watchdog has declared that Trump is a serious concern for...
global safety.
Pretty much, yeah. Basically.
And human rights.
For human rights in America.
Eek.
Great job, Americans. You crushed it.
Yeah, way to go, guys.
You smashed it, lads. I know a lot of you, and the vast, vast, vast majority of our listeners all voted Hillary.
Yeah.
Stay a fucking sense, am I right? Trump listeners ain't listening to this podcast.
they don't know what outside America is.
Oh, Charlie Brooker. No, that's not for the Trump listener. We are a very specific type of wankery.
a deity. I'm going to just go as Latin and David Attenborough.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd say that.
The twin pillars.
Yeah, I was already there in my heart place, so...
Zlatan has not earned... In Stoneface, if we're doing a Stoneface religion...
It should be old Stoneface.
Oh, Buster Keaton, of course.
It should be Buster Keaton.
Buster Keaton's a great show. Yeah. There's, I think, you know, Buzz Aldrin, Jeremy Wade. These are people who would be deified within the wider Stoneface remit.
Like, there's a pantheon, clearly.
There's definitely... Oh, yeah, no, it's definitely polytheistic.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, none of this single god nonsense.
No. Yeah, so we could have Flann O'Brien be like the mischief. He could be our Loki.
Absolutely. In fact, we wanted to call the company originally Delancey Pictures.
DeSelby.
DeSelby Pictures, sorry. Yeah. DeSelby Pictures, but there's one in Paris that bet us to it.
Who I think... made a documentary I watched recently. It popped up at the end.
Fuck off, really?
Yeah.
There you go. Pricks.
Yeah.
So DeSelby could be like our god of philosophy.
And then if our Loki is Flann O'Brien, we'd just be tripping over bikes everywhere. Just couldn't move for the bikes.
Yeah. I like it. That's a good one.
This could be your own like fancy religious god team. Yeah. You know, who would you who would you put
it's
into?
It's religious Avengers.
Yeah, religious Avengers, yeah.
Thomas Aquinas. Hawkeye. Thomas Aquinas and Hawkeye.
Countess Markievicz, God of War.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah, well the tall fella as well. Oh, yeah. He'd be sort of
he'd be
Mars to Athena, you know what I mean? Yeah. Mars, that's Roman and Greek, I messed that up, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, he'd be
the male and female gods of war.
We're talking Mick, right?
Yeah. The god of general fucking mayhem.
Bloody fucking mayhem. Yeah. Bloody fucking mayhem. Who else we have? Jeremy Wade.
It's
God of the sea.
God of the sea and
God of
the rivers.
God of rivers, certainly, anyway, and the monsters therein.
Charlie Brooker, God of CEX.
God of upscaling media, upcycling,
and cynicism.
Yeah,
we need a God of cynicism. Star Wars one. You love
Carrie Fisher.
Seems to be.
Oh yeah, Carrie Fisher.
Oh, Carrie Fisher can absolutely ascend.
Yeah,
yeah.
King of just Belushi in it. Belushi and hard.
Living hard.
I'd actually have Peter Cushing as my god of the underworld.
He works very well. Yeah.
I saw him as I watched the Peter Cushing Sherlock Holmes over Christmas, The Hound of the Baskervilles.
Oh yeah.
Unbelievably good.
That's the BBC one, isn't it?
It's like the old one, the old Hammer Horrors.
Oh right,
Lee as Lord Baskerville.
Cool, man.
So knocks it out of the park.
That's fantastic. Actually, Christopher Lee, we'll have him.
God of death.
God of just.
Oh, Cushing and him, the two of them.
Got a metal.
Well, yeah, one on
got
the
a metal.
He's like our Hephaestus, you know what I mean? He's great. Yeah, got a metal. I watched episode one of the new series of Sherlock yesterday.
I haven't seen any of them. I'm going to watch it this week.
I hadn't seen it either. In fact, we watched it on New Year's Day, but I fell straight asleep.
I heard
it,
yeah.
So we hadn't. I haven't seen it. But we watched it anyway. I watched it last night. It's not bad. Interesting. Very odd choices.
I heard it was. Yeah. I heard that.
I didn't like the Six Thatches. I didn't like that. The second episode was much better.
Yeah. I heard that's. Yeah. So I'm gonna just.
I'm hopefully we'll be watching that tonight. Actually,
the second one.
Yeah.
I might try watch the first one beforehand, and I'll join you on the second one. Yeah.
In that case, I won't watch. I won't watch it if you're in the room.
Like, yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
Other gods, lads. We got Jeremy Wade on Rivers.
Yeah.
Got our two gods of war.
Nick, I feel like Tina Fey needs a shout in there somewhere.
Tina Fey's.
Oh, also okay. Maybe not. But I'm just making sure it's not a male heavy.
Well, we have Carrie Fisher in pantheon there at the moment, and
Markovitch.
Who?
Markovitch.
Oh yeah, Markovitch.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie Fisher is probably like our Epicurus, god of overdoing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she's
killing it.
Bacchus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also love that her urn was in the shape of a giant
Prozac.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That wasn't even her call. That was just her family being like, she'd probably think
this
is hilarious.
Love this.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who else would we have? I think Buzz deserves a place.
He's the Allfather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Allfather.
This is his eye patch.
Buzz Allfather.
Buzz Allfather.
Buzz Allfather. It's excellent. Well done. Buzz Allfather. Totally makes sense. Anyone else, boys?
Hmm.
Hypnodisc.
God of machines.
Yeah.
Hypnodisc is definitely
Hypnodisc. Everybody.
Hypnodisc?
No.
Robot Wars?
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course.
We talked about Hypnodisc a lot in the last season of this.
That's just like
podcast.
An emotional wall has come down in my brain.
Oh, yeah. Danger.
You remembered Hypnodisc.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Do you know what that is? That's the spirit of Hypnodisc getting in you.
Just
coming up
stirring
you.
Everything, just yeah. spinning it up.
Yeah. Just.
Oh, no, I actually can't get that fucking Ariana Grande song out of my head where she's doing a spin class.
What?
And yeah, it's man, what?
You've been hanging out with Killian too much.
I swear to God, I was hanging out with Killian on Friday night. He put on a rake of Ariana Grande
yeah,
videos.
Yeah, he'd do that.
They're straight up pornography, by the way. One of them in particular is legitimate softcore wanking material. Like, without any exception. Like, they went out of there. Someone wrote a treatment. Like, a filmmaker sat down and was just like, what we really want to do is get people, like, halfway hard, like straight up, no matter what they're doing, we want our erection cove across the world.
Lads. Yeah,
it was it's ridiculous. I've never, like, I mean, more power to them if that's what they want to do, like, fair play. But I mean, there's something a little artless in it, you know what I mean? Anyway, with that said, did you you didn't see Conor O'Toole's short film the other day?
No, I didn't get looking at it.
I mean, if you want to talk about artless performances, I'm your boy.
We should throw it up on the Twitter.
It. Yeah,
because John.
Did you
is
see
in
when
it?
I was a yeah, yeah. state I liked agent. It. Yeah. Yeah, I should have tweeted it or something. I might still, but
if anyone hasn't seen John act, here's your chance.
Yeah,
we should throw that out after this. Whenever we put this up,
are you actually busting acting chops in this short film? Are you?
Kind of. They.
But no spoilers now. For
no
the,
spoilers.
The piece.
But I'm an estate agent trying to rent. Basically, the gist of it is I'm trying to rent people a street. Right, to be, like, very timely, you know, hot-button issue and so forth. So I'm a big, you know, estate agent. Hi, yeah, estate agent. But I have one mode when I'm acting, which is, like, you know, Protestant landowner from the turn of the century. Like, that's kind of just my go-to. It's kind of just my go-to thing. But, yeah, so in this, we did three takes, because Stephen Colfer, friend of the show, who was in it, he had to get a bus or a train to Galway like 10 minutes after we finished shooting.
Right.
So we had three takes. It was one continuous take because the camera swings left to right.
Right.
So there was no cutting. It was just you have to do it perfectly first time, you know what I mean? And you have three takes to do it. Here's the script. You know, have a read there. Like, it was real seat-of-the-pants stuff. So, you know, I wouldn't describe it as the most professional acting performance you've ever seen in your life. But yeah, boy howdy, you want to see me act like a gobshite?
Well, remember I was the multimedia
really
director
do.
For a play a few years ago, and I needed a newsreader for a part of the play.
That. Yeah, Jesus.
And it was set in the 80s. It was about an IRA bombing.
We went out to.
So we went out to like the older houses in our estate, which were council flats or council houses built in the 70s.
I'm holding a fucking Rock Band.
Rock Band microphone trying to cover it saying Rock Band. And it was rough because we were like, which of these houses looks the shittiest?
Because it was needs to be the amount of cocaine
was found
here.
Yeah.
So we're like, which of our neighbors has the shittiest house?
So it was like, yeah, it was someone was in the IRA and had busted for drugs. So we just had to stand outside someone's house and like film real quick and then just lash it in like just shitty sepia tone 70s 80s newsreader.
Great. Yeah.
But it's the same acting mode. Like, it was
not a great
same
actor.
Speed.
Nice. I can see how your hairstyle could double for being a 70s newscaster.
Thank you. That's what I'm going for. Yeah. I go in, I say give me the Michael Fish. I'm fucking
end it there.
I'm pleased with that pull, I have to be honest.
End
with
it
you.
There.
Who knew? Listen, that's where we wrap it up.
Kill it on Michael Fish.
Like so many other things. It ends with fish. Thank you so much to the listener for a particularly meandering episode of the Stoneface Films podcast, but I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. And on behalf of our guest, you know him from. On Twitter, where he is Super Adam. Okay, you know him from the Project Bose website, soon to be podcast. I highly recommend you check that out. It's an incredible look into people working in Dublin whose lives or people working in Dublin whose jobs effectively haven't changed for 100-odd years, and it speaks, and it's got real conversations and then fictive pieces written by Adam inspired by those conversations. I highly recommend you check it out. He is a gorgeous writer in his own right. Mr. Adam O'Keefe, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Cheers.
On behalf of the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions, Ensign Rod Rushchenko, on the old Excelsior class, Mr. Rob O'Sullivan.
Goodbye, everybody.
And finally, my laptop's gone dead, so I don't know what my notes were in front of me. But it was something...
Reapers?
Oh, yeah, he's going across the galaxy, saving planet the Federation from Reapers, largely by doing personal favours for the people on his ship. It's Mr. David Riley.
Goodbye, folks.
My name's been John Hosier-Byrne. Thank you very, very much for listening. Good night. A huge thank you to our ensigns on the USS Best Friends, Jess Angell, Charles C. Kirkman, and Sam Sweeney Saya. You are the Harry Kims to our... I would never put that on you. You're not Harry. You're better than Harry Kim. I would never put Harry Kim on you. I've been watching a lot of Voyager lately. I'm sorry. You're B'Elanna. You're 7 of 9. That's the highest compliment a man can give. Huge thank you also to our Knights of the Sainsbury's car park, Alice and Sir Lord Flame. They speak his name in hushed whispers because his name is weird. Thank you huge amount to both of you guys. You are incredibly sound and we love you. Another huge thank you to the small council of King Robert the Hand. You are champs and heroes. Luke Bruton, Shelley Umla, Dawn Smith, we love you all. You are fantastic and we so appreciate your continued support. You're lovely, lovely people. And Dawn in particular, hey, thanks, because you gave us those things, which is dead. Thank you so much, finally, to the stars in the constellation of Aldrin's Mickey. You are our deities. You are our belts, Orion and otherwise. We so appreciate your support. Thank you to Lizzie, John Oldman Byrne, and other individuals who choose to remain anonymous. We appreciate your support. Wholly and truly, you keep the podcast free, and you are gaseous balls aligned in a cock and ball formation, and we appreciate it truly and deeply. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you to all our Patreon subscribers. You're champs. See you later.
You've been listening to the Stoneface Films podcast, hosted by John Hosier-Byrne, David Riley, and Rob O'Sullivan. The show is produced by Rob O'Sullivan of Sentinel Audio Productions. You can find out more about the show, our companies, and upcoming podcasts at stonefacefilms.com and at sentinelaudio.com. Our opening theme is by Lazyitis, and all other music is by the Cooper Church Amendment. You can get involved in future shows by sending questions and messages to the Stoneface Films Twitter, at Stoneface Films. If you could take the time to rate and review the show on iTunes and Stitcher, we'd really appreciate it. We thank you all for your continued support of this podcast, and we'll talk to you next time. This show is part of the Sentinel Audio Podcast Network.